Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series.
My guest today is Doug Wong, senior member of technical staff at Kioxia, where he has contributed to the advancement of memory technology since 1993. He has focused on a broad range of memory solutions and has been an active contributor to industry standards. Welcome to the podcast, Doug.
Thank you, Daniel.
So, first question is, what brought you to the memory industry?
Well, I've been working for Kioxia. We used to be called the Toshiba Memory Group, but I've been working for Kioxia for 32 years now. And I originally graduated with a bachelor's in electrical engineering from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. But in 93, I decided to, I went back to school and graduated from UCLA with a master's degree in electrical engineering with a semiconductor physics concentration. So back then, after I graduated, I had to find a job, and I happened to find a want ad in the LA Times for a application engineer with Toshiba down in Orange County. So that's what actually brought me to Kioxia.
Interesting. So as I understand, Kioxia invented NAND flash back in 1987, I think, and then in 2007, they introduced 3D memory to the industry, which is now widely used in many applications. Can you tell me about 3D memory?
Sure. Back in 1987, we used to be called the Toshiba Memory Division, and we got spun out in like 2018. But back then, Toshiba invented this technology called NAND flash double E squared prompts. And we get rid of, we're not calling it EE prompts much any longer because everyone understands what NAND flash stands for. But prior to say 2015, all the NAND flash was planar 2D technology, but it was pretty clear that scaling had kind of hit its limit. So once it was no longer able to scale anymore, it was necessary to transition to 3D NAND. So, back in 2007, there was a research paper from Toshiba that introduced the concept of 3D NAND flash, even though production didn't actually start until, say, 2015. But this 3D NAND flash is called BiCS by Toshiba at the time, and BiCS stands for bit column stack. So it was just our trade name for our 3D NAND flash. Although we still make 2D NAND flash, 3D NAND flash now comprises probably 95% of our bit output. So it's certainly displaced the original 2D NAND flash.
Right. So what features standpoint, what advantages come with BiCS flash?
Well, the main clear advantage is we've been able to increase the areal density, which is, the number of bits per, square of silicon surface area. And, there's a lot of different flavors of 3D NAND flash today. So, originally we had, multi-level cell, 2-bit per cell technology. But today, 3D, 3-bit per cell technology, TLC, is certainly the dominant technology, with 4-bit per cell or QLC technology ramping up, as people recognize that, they want the higher density and lower cost. So this 3D NAND string has enabled us to stack, memory cells in the vertical direction. The density can increase significantly. So in the original 2D NAND flash, we were able to achieve a density of around 128 gigabits per die. And it was topping out because, like I said, the cell area was getting too small to actually retain, the number of electrons that we needed to do in the memory cell. But with this 3D technology, the new BiCS technology, we've been able to achieve a terabit in TLC technology and 2 terabits per die in QLC. So really, the main advantage has been the increase in total die density. And of course, the another benefit that's kind of hard to really appreciate is the fact that the memory cells have reduced these bigger memory cells have reduced the intercell interference effects between individual memory cells. And we've been able to enhance the programming speed because of that. So the transition from, for example, MLC to TLC to QLC technology just would not have been possible without the transition to this 3D NAND. And finally, our current generation of BiCS-FLASH, which is our generation 8, we've introduced a new architectural change, which we call CBA, which stands for CMOS directly bonded to array. And that brings even more advantages. But basically, it's two separate wafers that are bonded together now to create the memory die.
Interesting. Can you talk a little bit more about the CBA technology?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. First, let me start out with saying that the NAND industry overall has been using a CUA technology. So that's the CMOS circuitry under the memory array. This was an attempt to make the dies smaller. So you have the memory array, and all the CMOS and logic circuitry was packed underneath that. And we did do that for one generation, but we've decided to shift away from the CUA technology to this CMOS bonded array technology, you know, with the two wafers. And we do believe the industry eventually will follow in our footsteps. Now, with this CBA technology, we've actually separated the 3D memory stack from the actual CMOS logic circuitry. And we fabricate these on two totally separate wafers. And the advantage is we can optimize the temperature processing for each wafer individually. So, you know, with this optimization of processing per wafer, we can get better characteristics. So specifically, what we talk about is the fact that the memory array, because it's a multi-layer stack of multiple materials, there is a high temperature annealing step that is necessary to relieve the built-in stress. But the problem is, if we fabricated this on a single wafer, then the high-speed logic circuitry would also be subjected to this high temperature step, which is actually detrimental. So by separating and processing these two wafers separately and then bonding them together at the end in a low temperature step, we can optimize the characteristics for each wafer. So basically, the logic wafer never sees the high temperature anneal step that the memory wafer sees. So basically, this allows us to increase the, you know, the power efficiency, increase the performance, and of course the density is part of the overall equation, and it's more cost effective and more sustainable in our opinion. So basically, the CBA technology is really the backbone to maintaining good CapEx efficiency, at least from our point of view, and that's topic for another discussion.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about the roadmap for BiCS-FLASH and, you know, what can we expect with the next generations of Kioxia's 3D memory?
Sure. So, you know, the BiCS-FLASH that introduced CBA was our BiCS Generation 8 product. But at this year's Future of Memory and Storage, you know, FMS got rebranded to, Future of Memory and Storage. We showed the wafers of our next two generations of products. So this is BiCS Generation 9 and BiCS Generation 10. So for BiCS Generation 9, we introduced a brand new logic wafer, you know, but it's still based on the memory array wafer of BiCS Gen 5 and BiCS Gen 8. But with this new logic wafer for BiCS Gen 9, we're supporting the latest JEDEC standard. So JEDEC is the Joint Electron Devices Engineering Council, and that's actually where we've been a big participant in defining the next generation of NAND flash devices. With this new JEDEC standard, which is called JESD 230G, for the very first time, the NAND interface has been not only improved in terms of performance, meaning the interface speed has bumped up to like 4,800 megatransfers per second, but the NAND interface itself has been changed to support what's called a separate command address protocol. This is actually one of the biggest changes in the NAND interface since NAND was introduced, because historically, the command and address and data were multiplexed onto the data bus. So there's like an 8-bit data bus on the NAND historically, and you'd put in commands or address or data by selecting a couple of pins to select which register the information goes to. But with this new BiCS Gen 9 and BiCS Gen 10, we're supporting the brand new separate command address protocol, which JEDEC recently ratified. So with this new protocol, commands and addresses are no longer on the data bus at all, and only data flows on the data bus. So we think this is going to, you know, again, support this the new 4800 mega transfers per second interface speed, and, you know, help all future NANDs and as the interface speed continues to increase in the future. So you know, we're actively involved in defining these new standards at JEDEC, and we'll continue to be supporting this effort.
Yeah, how about applications for this technology? You know, AI continues to be a driving force, you know, putting great demands on storage solutions. How does 3D memory help tackle this challenge?
Well, we feel that BiCS Flash will offer the performance and the efficiency and the density which these new AI workloads will need. In addition, we have specialized variants. So for example, there's a specialized BiCS Flash that we call XL Flash, which is basically a low latency NAND. This is also part of the JEDEC standard, but it hasn't really been adopted yet, but it's basically a low latency NAND. There's also QLC Flash, and QLC Flash is addressing the AI market because the AI market is requiring the storage of very large data sets. So we are seeing a lot of demand for very high density SSDs. So, you know, as I mentioned, we have this 2 terabit QLC device, and at FMS we talked about, or we showed a 32 die stack within a single package for a total of 8 terabytes in that package. So this was recently shown, and also at FMS we showed the usage of that 2 terabit QLC in a very high density SSD from Kioxia. It's a 245 terabyte SSD that we call LC9, and that's supported by our SSD division. And looking forward, so that's for BiCS 9. And for BiCS 10, we're introducing a brand new memory array wafer. So in BiCS 9, we introduced the new logic level, you know, to support the new JEDEC standard. But in BiCS Gen 10, we introduced a new memory array wafer, and that's a 332-layer memory array. So 9 and 10 really are our next flagship products.
So what are some of the other target applications for BiCS Flash today and in the future?
Well, currently, of course, you know, all eyes are on the AI market and its demands, but you know, there are a huge number of applications that that we are targeting with our 3D NAND. So obviously from consumer electronics and cell phones to, you know, smart automotives, we believe that's also coming. Smart homes, you know, anything that's really supporting mobility, and also, you know, data centers and industrial robotics. So, you know, besides AI, there's a huge number of applications that we see growing. Beyond that, you know, gaming continues to grow. And of course, satellite communications are becoming a new market. So we do see BiCS supporting the demands of quite a wide variety of applications beyond its traditional base of, you know, client PCs and, you know, cell phones.
Great. Hey, thank you, Doug. Great conversation, and I hope to have you back again.
Hey, great talking with you, Daniel. Thank you very much.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.